Good morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Welcome, visitors. Welcome, church. Thank you for spending this time with us here this morning as we're going to be reflecting upon Easter and the promises that we've obtained through this day. Good Friday, we recall, was a solemn day where aspects of the cross were reflected upon, and we did that through seven different sayings on the Friday service. Today is a day of rejoicing. We're going to be in the Bible this morning and uncovering the victory that we have in Christ that has been confirmed on Easter morning, because out of Israel came a Messiah, a living promise and the first fruits of all of those who would be dead in Christ from this day onwards. Because of Easter Sunday, the church would call this day blessed, and it'd be the traditional day on which we would worship. But let's celebrate together by going to prayer first. Father in heaven, we thank you and we ask for a special blessing this morning. We've been through many Easters, Lord, but this one is a special one. And we ask, God, that every day, every Easter that we gather together would be a unique one, that we would be reminded constantly of the truths of this day. Refresh us with those spiritual truths. It is a blessing to be a person who looks to the Son and who is saved. And because of that, life shall endure all the better, knowing that Christ is our Savior. Our minds, Lord, let them be focused. Let them be attentive and free from distractions this morning. Keep us from any thoughts that might interfere of the day or the work that may lie ahead or behind us. But let us reflect only upon this hour and think upon it. Help us to hear your Spirit and guide us into the truth. Teach us to pray and sing these truths with conviction, and provide us a zeal for the resurrection. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning. What a blessing it is to celebrate the resurrected and living Lamb of God and sing with his people together on this Easter Sunday. Please stand if you're able as we worship the King this morning.
And we are raised with him.
has conquered.
Christ became.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Well, 4 years ago, the choir here at Meadowlands began working on the music for an Easter cantata for the year 2020. Of course, the Lord had other plans as COVID forced the cancellation of any type of musical service like we're having here today. And although many of the faces have changed, it is our blessing and our privilege to have completed the very same cantata 4 years later to present this morning. As we aim to tell the story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, both as Scripture tells it and through song, our journey begins in the book of John, chapter 1, as John the Baptist prepares the way for the coming of the Christ. In verse 26, John says, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." And it is when John sees Jesus that he declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Please feel free to follow along to the words on the screen as the choir presents this morning, "Behold the Lamb."
The Old Testament records that God's chosen people, Israel, were instructed to place the blood of a sacrificial lamb on their door frames. Doing so diverted the angel of death from their homes. This first Passover ultimately led Israel from Egyptian captivity to freedom.
This foretold the Creator's plan for the holy Lamb of God, Jesus the Christ, who would eventually come to free his people with the blood and sacrifice of his own life. John chapter 1, verses 14 and 29b. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Amen. Give thanks to the Lamb of God. You've been cleansed. The extraordinary love of God is revealed in the life and death of Jesus. Jesus, the living sacrifice of God, offered compassion, mercy, and forgiveness to those who embraced him and received his gift of salvation. And to those who receive him, he offers even more, eternal life with God himself.
Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 to 19. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again."
John chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel."
Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him.
Voices loud and clear.
shortly after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Jesus shared the Passover feast with his disciples. In this setting, the teacher further revealed God's plan. Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Jesus, the high priest of heaven, was soon to become the sacrificial Lamb of God.
Following the Passover meal, Jesus and his disciples went to a place called Gethsemane to pray. While they were there, an angry crowd led by Judas, one of the disciples, came to arrest Jesus and take him away to be presented to the Jewish religious leaders. He was falsely accused and sentenced to die. The holy, spotless Lamb of God was nailed to a cross to die a criminal's death.
Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3-5. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed.
It was now dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look in the tomb where Jesus had been buried. Luke chapter 24, verses 2 to 7. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'"
It was the Passover lamb which helped the chosen people of God to be released from Egyptian captivity. It was the sacrificial lamb who bore our sins on a cross and gave his life for our release from spiritual bondage. And it is the resurrected living lamb who calls us to eternal life with the God of the universe.
Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. "Worthy is the lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing."
Thank you.
Well, amen. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain and raised to life again to reign forever. We serve a living Redeemer, as our new hymn of the month here at Meadowlands has declared. The words are inspired from the book of Job, chapter 19, which says in verses 25 to 27, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Well, please stand once again if you're able as we sing these words this morning. Singing. You may be seated.
Well, thank you, Adam, and the choir, and all our musicians. A lot of hard work that went into preparing
This ministry to us, and especially the message that came across to us, I'm so grateful for what we've been able to receive here this morning. And I think you got the message as we focused our attention on Jesus as the Lamb of God. Now, if you have been in church a long time, or maybe grew up going to church, then that may be a familiar thing for you to hear. Jesus is the Lamb. But we have to admit that it is a little bit strange just to think of this image. I mean, think about the type of mascots that sports teams choose to represent themselves. Often they're animals, but lamb is not normally one of the top choices. You want an animal to represent your team that symbolizes strength. Maybe that's even a little intimidating. Or even nations sometimes have an animal that symbolizes the strength of the nation, or maybe majesty. And so a sports team may have a shark or a lion. Russia has the bear. China, the dragon. The Canadian beaver may be an exception to this rule. But lamb does not picture strength. In fact, sheep are extremely vulnerable to predators, really without any means of defense. A lamb is probably one of the weakest of animals. So why would the Bible speak of Jesus Christ as a lamb? Well, lamb in Scripture points us to the reality of sin. We learn from the early chapters of the Bible that there is a big problem between our Creator and humanity. You see, we have all sinned, and that makes us sinners. We have violated God's law. We have rebelled against the authority of God's will. We've done things our own way instead of His way. And the prophet Isaiah put it this way: all of us are like sheep who have wandered astray. We have turned, every one of us, to our own way. God is holy. He is completely without sin and opposed to sin. He is also just, which means that those who have broken His law require His judgment. The Lord, though, is just and also merciful. And so He told the people of Israel many centuries ago that they could offer a sacrifice for their sin. They would kill an animal, often a lamb. And as they offered it, they were asking God, in essence, to allow the lamb to be their substitute. That in His mercy, He would allow the lamb to stand in the sinner's place. That the sinner would be forgiven and the lamb would be slain instead. And this became a fairly regular occurrence for them because, like us, they sinned a lot. The sacrificed lamb reminded them of their sin and also of God's mercy. So when the Jewish people heard John call Jesus the Lamb of God, they understood what that meant. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that was the purpose of the sacrificial lamb, to take away sin. And although the people understood the connection between sin and a lamb, they didn't understand how Jesus could be the lamb that would take away their sin. So Jesus explained that He came to die. He came to offer himself as a ransom for many. In chapter 10 of John's gospel, Jesus declares himself to be the good shepherd who comes to give abundant life to the sheep. But then he tells them that he will lay down his own life for the sheep. So the gift of life involves the loss of life. Jesus even made this statement, which was puzzling at the time. I have authority to lay down my life and to take it up again. At other times, Jesus just was very clear in telling his disciples that he would be crucified and then rise again the third day. And it seems that no one believed that this would literally happen. And then it did. Jesus went to Jerusalem with his disciples to observe the Passover meal. At the end of that meal, he explained to them that his body would be broken, that his blood would be poured out for many. He was telling them that he is the sacrificial lamb. Just a few hours later, Jesus was arrested, condemned, and then crucified. The Bible teaches that as Jesus hung on the cross, the sins of the world were placed upon him, and God poured out his judgment on his own son as if he had committed every one of our sins. Just think about all of the sins that you have committed. Have you ever told a lie or taken something that wasn't yours? Have you ever dishonored your parents or misused God's name? There's even a commandment not to covet, which means that even our thoughts and desires can transgress God's law. You see, all of us have sinned many times. And Romans 6:23 states that the wages of sin is death. Since we are sinners, we are condemned to face God's judgment. And the message of the Old Testament scriptures is that no amount of animal sacrifices could ever cover all of our sins. And that's why Jesus came, to be the perfect lamb, to sufficiently make the sacrifice that God will accept. Although no one at that time seemed to understand, that is the meaning of Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. All those sacrificial lambs of the past were pointing ahead to the ultimate, sufficient offering for sin that Jesus gave on the cross. But there is an important way that Christ's sacrifice was very different than those sacrificial lambs. You see, the lamb was killed, and it, of course, stayed dead. Jesus, however, is God in human flesh. If he remained in the grave, he couldn't be God. In fact, if his lifeless body stayed in the tomb, then Jesus was a liar. For he not only claimed to lay down his life, but said that he had the authority to take it up again. And over, he asserted that this would happen on the third day. And that is exactly what happened. As was read earlier, the tomb was empty on the third day. By sundown on that Friday, Christianity was dead and buried. How could anyone be certain of anything that Jesus said? How could he be the promised Messiah? How could he be the Savior? How could he be from heaven if he is dead? You see, it is the resurrection on the third day that validates everything Jesus said and did. The Bible gives us eyewitness accounts from that time of at least 10 different appearances of Jesus over the span of 40 days. And the men and women who saw Jesus alive were completely transformed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul explains how important the resurrection is. He said, "If Christ is not risen, our preaching is in vain, and your faith is empty." Without the resurrection, there is no hope for salvation, at least not through Jesus. My friend, do you believe that Christ was raised from the dead? Do you believe what Jesus said? Paul summarizes our greatest need in Romans 10, 9, and 10. You need to be saved. And if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And since we are all sinners, we all need a sacrificial lamb. We need a substitute to bear our guilt and take our punishment. We all need to be rescued from God's judgment. And God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And his sacrificial death was validated by his resurrection. Not only do we thank God for the sacrificial lamb, we celebrate our risen lamb. Behold the lamb, the spotless lamb, who takes away our sin. The debt we faced was not erased, but paid in full by him. Behold the lamb, the dying lamb, who takes away just wrath. God saw the blood of his beloved, and over us has passed. Behold the Lamb, the risen Lamb, who takes away death's sting. All knees shall bend, all praise ascend to Christ, the living King. The story of the Lamb is throughout the Bible. In the final book, God reveals his plan for all eternity. It is actually a terrifying book to read if your sins are not forgiven. We read of a final judgment where all those who remain in their sins are cast into the lake of fire that burns forever. You see, your physical death here on earth is not the end. Judgment is coming. But there is a promise for all who are saved by Christ. God will make all things new. We will have eternal life. Our earthly bodies will be resurrected to glorified bodies, where we will live in his presence forever without sin and sorrow and suffering and death. And ruling over everything will be the Lamb of God on his throne. The book of Revelation has the Lamb on a throne. However, that very Lamb bears the marks of being slain. For all eternity, we will remember that Christ willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. He redeemed us by his blood. And we will worship him as the Lord by declaring, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Forever we will praise our risen Lamb. Peter was one of those eyewitnesses of Jesus after his resurrection. In fear, he had even disowned Jesus on the day of his crucifixion. But seeing the evidence of the resurrected Christ, Peter's sadness and fear were transformed into joy and peace. Just a few weeks after the resurrection, Peter preached to thousands in the very city where Jesus was crucified, Jerusalem. He boldly declared, "This Jesus you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. But God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And we are witnesses of these things." That is what Peter did for the rest of his life. He preached the message of Christ's death and resurrection, that through faith in Jesus, you can be rescued from sin and death. Toward the end of his life, Peter wrote a letter to Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. The letter begins with words of praise. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope through the risen Lamb. And to encourage these suffering saints, Peter reminds them, "You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." The message you have just heard this morning is often called the gospel. It means good news. Paul summarizes the good news this way: Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, according to the scriptures. Do you believe that? Are your sins forgiven by Christ? Do you have this living hope? Are you ready to stand before God as your judge? If you have any questions about what you have heard this morning, I would encourage you to talk to someone. We could take a Bible and answer all of your questions. We'd love for you to know the living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Will you repent and believe the gospel? Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the words of authority from the scriptures, from the testimonies of those who saw the risen Savior, and for the living hope that we have through believing in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for anyone here who has heard these words but is not confident that they have that hope. They are still in their sins. Father, I pray that you would draw them to your Son, that your Holy Spirit would make them alive, that they would see their need, turn from their sins and to Christ, that you would save them. And Father, we pray that because of the living hope that we have in Christ, that we would live differently, that we would shine brightly in darkness, that we would live in worship and praise to you all our days, even as we eagerly anticipate the return of Christ, where we will worship the risen Lamb forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand together with me, and we'll close by singing a final hymn about our Lord's resurrection.
What a wonderful truth that we get to sing about, that Christ the Lord is risen indeed. Let's sing together. Thank you so much for joining us this Resurrection Sunday, and I hope that you have a blessed Easter. I'll close with these words from Revelation 5. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen.